Good morning, everybody. So good to see you and have you on our live stream today. I'm so glad that you could tune in with us. And if you've got your Bible today, I'm going to ask you if you would go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's the text that we're going to be speaking about today. And while you're getting there in your Bibles, I just want to let you know that we're praying for you. And if you've got any specific prayer requests or anything that you need, you can just leave a comment in the comment section below, or you can send us a DM. So that we can believe God with you and that God will be able to touch your life. We're believing for good things for you even during this difficult time that we're living in. Like we said last week, we just want to let everybody know that our food pantry is up and running. And so many of you are contributing to that, and we're so thankful for that. We've got groceries for families that are in need in our church and in the surrounding community. So if you're a person that lives in the Dumfries area and you're in need of groceries, your family's in need of groceries, or you know a family that's in need of groceries, please reach out to us, let us know, and we'll do what we can do to get you connected with some food, because we don't want anybody to go without during this time. We know a lot of people are out of jobs and people can't go to work and things like that. And so we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community and be a blessing, and be able to be a blessing to your family if you need that. And like I said, I want to thank you to all those who are giving towards that as well. Our community is being able to be blessed as a result of that. And you know, we get to speak with families and see the impact that has on people. So I want to thank you for doing that. Thank you for being a generous church. I also want to let you know you can give online. All of our giving is online right now. You can go to the website and at rolchurchva.com, and you can find all of the ways that you can give there. Also want to encourage and hope that you're staying connected with a Connect group. I know that we're not able to meet right now. I'm tired of preaching to a computer screen. We had one service back. We had some issues that came up. And so we just believe right now we're just going to take it week by week. And right now we feel that the smartest thing and the best thing for us to do is to continue to meet virtually. So I'm thankful for that communication. I'm thankful for the ability that we have to get on here and be able to still gather together as a church. I want to let you know that we're meeting in Connect groups on Zoom. We've got a Connect group going right now for men that meets on Saturday mornings. It's been amazing. We've got a Connect group with women that meets as well. We've got a Married Connect group that meets as well. And you can go to the church's website and you can get all the information on those. And before we get into the word today, I want to just ask you if you would take a moment and just share this stream on your page right now. If you'd take a moment and just maybe do a watch party or share, because I believe that the word of God is what we need to hear more of today. Amen. I believe that's what we really need to hear. So I want to go ahead and get into the message this morning. I'm going to try to, let me put my timer on here. I'm going to try not to go too long. I've got a lot on my heart that I want to share with you. And so hopefully we'll be able to do that in just a few minutes. So I just want to tell you, you know, it's a sad time that we're living in right now. And there's so much negativity. There's so much bad news. And, you know, it's hard not to get caught up in all the things that are going on in our country, all the things that are going on in the world right now. And as a Christian, you know, I feel that. And it's a horrible thing. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of unforgiveness. There's a lot of discontent. And there's a lot of just bad things happening in our country. And sometimes, you know, that can weigh on us and make us feel surprised. And I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but I want to read to you a quote from Jesus in John 16:33. And he basically said, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." And so I want to bring an encouraging message to you today and tell you that no matter what's going on right now, and no matter what we're seeing right now, Jesus already told us that in the world, we're going to have tribulation. There are going to be bad times. There are going to be times where, man, it just looks like all hell is broken loose and chaos is going on. And Jesus said, listen, even during times like that, believers, Christians, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And if Jesus lives on the inside of you, then you've overcome the world through him. And so that's the good news today. And so what I want to do is I want to just take a moment and pray. And I want to ask God to be with us as we look at the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. That's the verses that I want to talk to you about today. And if you're taking notes, the title of this message is going to be Reconciled to God. So I want to pray, and then we'll get right into the word. So Father, I just come to you right now, and I thank you for every person that's under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Father, for what you've already done to reconcile us to yourself. Lord, I thank you that what's going on in our world today is no surprise to you. You're not hurt by it. You're not afraid of it. God, you are in control and you are on the throne. And for that, we're thankful. We give you praise for it. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth and it would accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. I pray that you would help me, Father, to preach the word of God with passion, with anointing, with authority. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it has the power to change us from the inside out. And Lord, I pray for everyone that's listening, God, that your word would find a place in their heart. If there's any strongholds in our minds and in our hearts, let your word do damage to the kingdom of darkness. Let your word do damage to those areas of our life. And let us receive the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ today. God, I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to read this out of the New King James Version of the Bible. I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 through 21. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer to those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we're beside ourselves, it is of God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Friends, this passage of scripture is so strong and it speaks so poignantly to the world that we're living in today. And I want to encourage you with the word of God today. I want to go through these verses today and I want to talk about what the word of God is saying to us in these verses. And then I want to pray for you. And I'm believing that today God is going to bring breakthrough in our lives. I believe God's going to touch us. I believe God's going to touch you. And I believe that today we're not going to be the same as a result of the word of God being not just preached, not just heard, but applied to our very lives. So I'm going to read again verses 12 through 14. He says, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we're beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Now, I want you to look at that phrase in verse 14. He says, the love of Christ compels us. In other words, we are seized, we are controlled, we are held together by the love of Christ. We're going to talk to you by the love of Christ, and we're going to talk to you about the love of Christ. And what is the message that they're saying? The love of Christ compels us because we judge like this. If one died for all, then all died. And I want you to notice that that word one is capitalized. And who is he talking about there? He's talking about Jesus Christ dying for the sins of everyone. Jesus has died for the sins of the world. One died for all. I want you to understand today that Jesus died for all. He died for your sin. He died for my sin. He died for the sins of those that were before him and the sins of those that are not yet born. Jesus Christ, once and for all, paid the price and the penalty for sin. And then the Bible says, then all died. So I want you to look at verse 15 with me. It says, and he died for all. So if one died for all, then all died. And then it says, and he died for all. So in other words, we're not just saying if one died for all, we're saying he did. He did it. Jesus died for all. And I want you to look at this, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So what do we see in this verse? We see that Jesus died for everyone. Jesus died for the people like you, and he died for the people not like you. Jesus died for the people that you love, and Jesus died for the people that you don't like. Jesus died for the people that you agree with, and he died for the people that you disagree with. He paid the sin debt for everyone. And I want to say this loud and clear today, the means of reconciliation, that's what this verse 15 is talking about. The means of reconciliation is the cross of Jesus Christ. At the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus has paid the sin debt of mankind, and we can all be one because of the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is the good news of the gospel, that Christ, in Christ, we can be one because of what he's done, not because of what we do or what we can do or we don't do. We're one today. We're one body, one mind, one spirit, one baptism, one Lord and Savior, one Lord, Jesus Christ. We're one body today because of the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, I love what this verse tells us because it tells us the means of reconciliation is the cross of Jesus Christ. We can be one because of his finished work on the cross. And then it says that those who now live in Christ should no longer live for themselves. Why did he say that? Because at that time in the church, there were Christians who were saved and who had a relationship with Jesus, but they were living for themselves. They weren't living for the cross. They weren't living for Jesus. And what this verse is telling us is we should no longer live for our desires. We should no longer live for our agendas. We should no longer live for our ideas, no matter what they may be, no matter how lofty they may be, no matter how amazing they may be. They're nothing compared to the cross of Jesus Christ. And what this verse is telling us is who should we live for? We should live for him. We should live for the one who died for us and rose again. In the book of Colossians, the Bible tells us that Jesus should have the preeminence in all things. In other words, that means Jesus should have first place in our life. He should be the main thing. He should be everything in our lives. And Jesus Christ has the preeminence in the life of every true believer of Jesus Christ. What does this mean? The lives that Christians live now should be in Christ and for Christ. Amen? And the reason that is because Jesus is the one that died for us. He's the one that rose again for us. And that is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came into this world and took our sins upon himself, and he rose again for us. And that's what this verse is telling us. Listen, we should no longer live for ourselves. We should live for him who died for us and rose again. Let's look at verse number 16. He says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. They're saying, listen, we don't know Jesus according to the flesh anymore. We know him now according to the Spirit. So here's the big verse that everybody loves to quote. Here's the verse that we love. This is probably my favorite verse in all of Scripture because I've experienced this verse in a very powerful way in my life. What does it say, 2 Corinthians 5:17? So many of you know this by heart. Therefore, in other words, everything I've just said is leading up to this statement. Therefore, if anyone, listen to that verse, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things had passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want you to listen. If anyone is in Christ, they're not the same anymore. They're not the same person that they used to be anymore. It's impossible to be in Christ and be the same person that you were before. If anyone is in Christ, anyone in Christ, you and I, both of us, if we're in Christ, we're new creations. What does that mean? The verse tells us exactly what it means. Old things had passed away. old ways of thinking have passed away. When I came into Christ, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I had all kinds of old ways of thinking. I had old ways of living. I had old ways of interacting with people. I had old ways of belief systems and all these different things. I had old ways of treating people. I had all those things. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, when I repented of my sins and he came into my life and regenerated me by the Spirit of God, I can't explain to you how he does that. All I can tell you is I was one way and then I got saved and I was another way. He changed me. He did a miracle in my life on the inside. He changed me and made me a new creation. And then I stopped living the old way that I was living. I stopped thinking the old way that I was thinking. I stopped acting the old way that I was acting, and I began to follow Christ. Was I perfect? Absolutely not. Am I perfect now? No way. I make mistakes. I do things wrong, just like everybody else. But the difference is the moment that I do that, I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me, and he speaks that to me, and he tells me, listen, that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. And then I have the opportunity to repent and ask God to forgive me and ask others to forgive me. So if you're in Christ today, you're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new, right? So now look, verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to look at this and think about this verse. What it's saying is God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us at one time, if you're a believer today and you've been reconciled to God, every one of us, we were enemies of the cross of Christ. We were enemies of God in our disobedience and in our rebellion, and even sometimes in a lot of cases, even in our ignorance. We didn't know what we didn't know. We didn't know we were shaking our fist in God's face every time we broke his law, every time we transgressed his commandments, every time we stepped over boundaries that he said don't step over. Every time we did those things, we were enemies of God. We were making ourselves. And the good news of this is that in Christ, God himself has done what we cannot do. God reconciled us to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. What does that word reconcile mean? It means he brought peace between us and himself. What many people don't think about is God is absolute holiness. He's holy. God is a God of love. There's no doubt about that. But God is a God of justice. He's a God of mercy, and he's a God of holiness. He's a God where no sin can rest in his presence. No sin can be around him. And that's why when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God had to put them out, not because God didn't want to be with them, but because he would consume them. His holiness would destroy that sin that they were doing. And so God had to put them out of the garden, and he had to put them out of his presence. And that was the thing that was so difficult for them. And for thousands of years after Adam and Eve, man was on the outside looking in. Man and God were separated by this sin debt and this sin problem. And all of us, the Bible says, we were born in sin and conceived in iniquity. We were born as sinners. And the moment you and I began to decide to do what we wanted to do rather than what was right, we participated in sin. And then we deserve what the Bible says. What the Bible tells us is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the payment for sin is death. The one that sins shall surely die, the Bible says. And so God, what he did is he gave his only son to pay the sin debt that you and I had built up over time and that humanity had built up over time. We were enemies of God. And in Christ, God himself has done what we cannot do. He has brought peace between us and himself. Listen, the cross of Jesus Christ is what brought peace between a holy God and a sinful man. God couldn't just wink at our sin and say, hey, it's okay, you did all these bad things. No, that had to be paid for. That had to be paid for, and it was paid for in full by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The sin debt has been paid for by Jesus. And in Christ, God himself has done what we cannot do. He's brought peace between us and himself. And then what has he done? Those that he's drawn near. That second part of that verse, it says he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You and I can't be agents of reconciliation until we've been reconciled ourselves. We have to come back into peace with God, and there's only one way to come back into peace with God, and that's to accept the cross of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We don't have any righteousness in ourselves. The Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags compared to Jesus and the cross. You can never do enough. You can never pay the debt, because nothing you do will make a difference. But Jesus, in his mercy and in his love, has took our sin upon himself, and he's paid the sin debt, and God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. Jesus' cross was the means of reconciliation, and now because you and I have been reconciled to God, he's given us the work or the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? He's charged us with going out into the world and proclaiming and announcing and living this reconciliation message out in front of everybody. In other words, the message that I have is, listen up, guys, I've got good news. I used to do these things. I used to be an enemy of God in my flesh, and I used to walk in the ways of the world, and I used to walk in the ways of the flesh, and I used to do things that are horrible and disgusting. But in God's mercy and in God's grace, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sin. And because I've repented of my sin and I've asked God to forgive me, God has drawn me near to him through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. He's reconciled me to himself. And because of that, he's given me the ministry of reconciliation. And that's why everything we do as a church is about reconciling sinful man to a holy God that loves him so much that he would rather die than live without him. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of reconciliation that you and I as believers have been entrusted by God. And I want to tell you today, what's being preached and what's being said by all kinds of areas is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the reconciliation of God. It's not that Jesus has paid the sin debt. Now repent of your sins and put your faith in him. That's what the world needs to hear today, and that's what we as Christians need to hear today. And I want you to look at verse 19. It says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Look, this is so beautiful, this next statement. Not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What is this verse telling us? God was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself. The whole life of Jesus, this is why I love the gospel so much. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. The Bible says he's the invisible image of God. He's the image of the invisible God, is what I mean to say. The life Jesus lived on this earth was not for God's benefit. It was for your benefit. It was for my benefit. God humbled himself. Think about this for a moment. He humbled himself. He took on the form of a man to be tempted. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in every way, yet he was without sin. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was mistreated. And finally, he was crucified. Why? Because he deserved it? No. So that you and I, who did deserve all those things, could be forgiven of our sins if we would repent and turn and put our faith in Jesus Christ. I want to call you today, friends that are watching and listening to this all over, repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus has paid for all the things that you've done wrong. He's paid for the things that people have done wrong against you. The debt has already been paid. What needs to happen for that transaction to be completed is for you to confess those things to God and say, I repent of what I've done, and now I put my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the reconciliation that you've brought into us. And there's no message that's more beautiful than that. There's nothing that's like that. There's nothing in all the world that's like that. It's the most beautiful thing. This ministry of reconciliation, this word of reconciliation, this is the word of reconciliation, is what it is, that you can have peace with God no matter what you've done if you'll repent and put your faith in Christ. Our nation desperately needs Christians who understand that the means of reconciliation is the cross of Jesus Christ. Our nation needs Christians that will do the work that it takes to bring the message of reconciliation to the masses and to the individuals, to the people in your life, to the people in your sphere of influence. There are people that need to hear that listen, Jesus has provided the answer. The cross is the finished work of God to reconcile all people back to God. And we do that by spreading the word of reconciliation. It's by bringing that word of reconciliation to the world. And I want you to see in these verses, we've got the means of reconciliation. We've got the ministry or the work of reconciliation, and we've got the word of reconciliation. How beautiful it is. Now look at verse number 20. I love this. I love the way it starts off. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, I love that terminology, now then. In other words, he's saying, listen, with all that's been said, now then, listen up. Listen to the truth of the matter. Listen to what you need to hear. We are ambassadors of Christ. If you have been reconciled to God, no matter if you know it or not, no matter if you understand it or not, listen, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You're not of this world anymore. You're a new creation. Glorify God in your body. Now live for the one who died and rose again for you. Come up out of these worldly things and these worldly ways of thinking and these old ideas that are attached to the world, and get the mind of Christ on the inside of you and rise up as a new creation of God and understand that you're an ambassador of one thing and one thing only, and that is Jesus Christ. You're not of this world anymore. You can't think like people of this world anymore because you're citizens of another nation, and that's heaven. You're citizens of heaven now. You're ambassadors for Christ. You know what that word ambassador means? I love it. It means you're a diplomatic official of the highest rank. In other words, you have been sent by God on behalf of Jesus Christ to bring about a word and a message and a means of reconciliation that you can come to God. You're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And what does that verse say? It says, God is pleading through us. He's pleading through us. Listen, if you're a Christian today, you're an ambassador for Christ, and God is pleading through you, whether you're opening your mouth or not. He's pleading through you to a broken world, to a dying world, to a world that's going to hell in a handbasket and that does not know the truth and that does not know the goodness of God and has not experienced the life of Jesus Christ and the life of a loving Savior, who's not experienced a God who has pardoned them from their sin, and they're still living in that and they're still blinded by the enemy. And God is pleading through you, and he's pleading through me, and he's saying, listen to what this says. We implore you on Christ's behalf. It's as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. That word implore means to beg, to pray, to make request, to be reconciled to God. And I want to speak to you for a moment today if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I want to take a moment and I want to beg you. I want to implore you on behalf of God Almighty, on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's given his life to pay your sin debt. Be reconciled to God, friend. Repent of your sins. Turn away from the wrath that's to come. Turn away from the world's ideas. Turn away from the world's thoughts. Turn away from those things and embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. Let the blood of Jesus Christ come upon you and cleanse you of your sins, and you can be reconciled to God today. That's the good news of the gospel, and there is no better news. It doesn't get any better than that. Look at this verse 21 and how beautiful this is. It's so beautiful today. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What is this verse saying? God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for you and I. Listen, the Bible tells us Jesus was tempted in every way, yet he was without sin. Any way the devil could tempt you, any way that the flesh could tempt you and entice you and try to draw you out, the flesh tried to do that. The world tried to do that. The devil tried to do that. We can look in Luke chapter 4, and we can see how Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness, and the devil came and attacked him in every way possible, with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and through the pride of life. And Jesus responded with the word of God. And the Bible says that the devil, after he had tempted him in all ways, he went away for a more opportune time. He never found anything in Jesus. He never was able to tempt Jesus. He was never able to get into Jesus. There was never a chink in his armor. Jesus was tempted in every way, yet he was without sin. He was perfect. He was the perfect Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth for the sins of mankind. And I want to just tell you today, a famous news pundit recently said on live television that Jesus was not perfect and no one even batted an eye. Very few people said anything about it. Very few people spoke up about it. I want to set the record straight and tell you today that Jesus was perfect. If you heard that, it's a lie from the devil. What was said about Jesus. Jesus is perfect. He's the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. He was without sin. And this verse is telling us here that he became sin so that sinners could become the righteousness of God in him. The good news of the gospel today is that God in himself, reconciled the world through Christ to himself, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus became sin for sinners so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's no better news than the news of the cross of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel to transform a person from the inside out. And I want to declare the good news of God, the good news of the gospel, the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, and the cross is the means of reconciliation. The cross of Jesus Christ brought about the means of reconciliation. Those who've been reconciled to God through Christ have been given the ministry and the word of reconciliation. And those who are far from God, that are still in their sins, have been given an offer of reconciliation, to be reconciled to God, to be forgiven of your sin, to walk in holiness and the life of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you today, if you're a Christian, I want to implore you to share the means, the ministry, and the word of reconciliation with your friends. Please, in the climate that we're living in right now, in the time that we're living in right now, point people to the cross. Point people to Jesus Christ. Show them what he did. Talk about what he's done in your life. Talk about how you had unforgiveness and you had hurt and you had bitterness and you had all these things. And when you took it to Jesus, he healed your heart and he gave you a new heart and he made you a new creation. And now you love people because he first loved you. That's what the world needs to hear. It needs to hear what Jesus has done in the lives of Christians. Now, I want to encourage you today, if you're a Christian believer, don't let your friends keep talking about crazy things without talking to them about Jesus and what he's done in your life. The gospel is still the good news. The gospel of the word of reconciliation is still the best message out there. It's the most beautiful thing that anyone can share. It's the most beautiful thing that anyone can preach. Now, I want to encourage you, if you're a Christian, preach the gospel, live the gospel, point people to Christ, point people to Jesus. Now, I want to implore you, share that with your friends, share that with your loved ones, share that with the people you work in, share it on social media, share it everywhere that you go. Let people know what Jesus has done in your life and that he's no respecter of persons, and what he's done for you, he can do for everyone. Jesus and his cross is what brings reconciliation between God and man. Now, I want to tell you that if you're still in your sins today and you're an enemy of God, if you're still living in sin, friend, I want to tell you today, I love you enough to tell you that you're an enemy of God. You've made yourself an enemy of God by sinning against him, by living your life your own way, and by living for yourself, by doing what you want to do, and by shunning the goodness of God and the work of God for you to be saved and to be forgiven. And I want to tell you today, I want to implore you today, I want to take a moment and I want to beg you today, be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God. Pastor, how do I do that? You repent of your sins. You come to God and you tell him, God, I've broken your law. I've lived my own way. I've done my own thing. I've lived the way I wanted to. I think my own thoughts. I don't care about what you do. I don't care about what you think. And if you'll repent of those things, repentance means to turn away from your way and turn to God's way. Turn away from every other way and turn to Jesus Christ. And if you'll repent and you'll turn your back on your sin and you'll turn your back on the world and you'll turn your back on everything that is against God and you'll say, I don't want anything to do with that. God, forgive me for living that way. Forgive me for going that way. If you'll repent of your sins and put your faith in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. You'll have a new life. You'll become that new creation we talk about in 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old things will pass away and new things will become in your life. Friends, I want to encourage you today, no matter what is going on in the world, the gospel is still the good news, but it's only good news if it gets there in time. I want to encourage you today, if you're a believer, share the gospel, preach the gospel, live the gospel, love people. Let them know that you're his disciples by your love one for another, but hold to the truth. Preach the truth of the cross and let God work on people's hearts. We need a heart change. Everyone needs a heart change. We need to become new creations. And if you don't know Jesus today, friend, I want to encourage you. Go ahead and send me a DM in this, and I would love to talk to you offline. I'd love to be able to pray with you. I'd love to be able to share with you more about what you can do to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to pray for you really quickly, and then I want to thank God for you giving me this time. I really appreciate that. Thank you for tuning in, and I want to just encourage you to share this with other people. Father, I thank you for your people today. I thank you for those who are listening. Thank you, Father God, for the Church of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Jesus. Listen, we're going to have tribulation and trial in this world, but be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. Lord, I thank you that your cross is the means of reconciliation. I thank you that you've reconciled us through the cross. And I thank you that you've given us the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now that we would not get sidetracked, but we would preach the gospel, that we would declare that all people need to repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And that when we do that, we become one at the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for that. I give you praise for that. Lord, I pray for our church today that your hand would be upon us. God, bless our families. Bless our marriages, God. Bless our finances, God. Lord, help us to be salt and light in the earth today that so desperately needs it. Jesus, we lift you up and we honor you and we glorify you in everything that we do and say. Let God's people say amen. Guys, I love you. Thank you so much for your time today. And I pray that God would bless you this week in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.